Yay.
Yay. Welcome back,
Hooray.
everybody. So, previously on Starfall, you all made your way to the Obsidian Rim, to the Lokana Federation, in order to track down a mysterious meteorite, which was seen by your patron Una, who would like to you all to investigate it. So you've managed to make your way to Portage, the kind of coastal city, and have joined up as caravan guards. Making your way eventually towards Jungle's Edge, but first heading towards Black Glass. So last time you all were ambushed on the road by bandits that were trying to pick off the last, wagon or two of the caravan using the help of an Ettin. It was also a group of bandits led by one Herbert the Handsome, or Handsome Herbert, as he was known. A long battle ensued, a tough one, but you guys were able to defeat the Ettin, defeat the bandits who were using very strong hiding in the tree tactics, and you were unable to, unfortunately unable to take down Handsome Herbert, who escaped into the woods, but not before leaving his silk handkerchief for Hayren to collect. So, after defeating the bandits, you were congratulated by Hugh Grant on a good fight. Tomi made friends with the surviving horse of the dwarven merchants who were at the end of the caravan. And you all were able to take a long rest and recover. So, when we left off, it was the 9th of Sylvian Queen's Day. We are going to go ahead and fast forward to the 11th. So it is now midweek. You all spent 2 days on the road. What sort of things did you get up? Anything like, how did you pass the time, I guess?
Could I have, and I might be misremembering, but I think I still haven't quite gotten the whole reduce enlarge spell learned yet. Could I spend time doing that?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, you can definitely do that. All
Thank you.
right, so Hayren practices spells. What about Ula?
I think that Ula is, because it's been a couple of days and she's less afraid of being on dry land than she has been so far. So there's been a lot of just people looking around and being like, where the fuck did she go? Because I just like veered off into the trees to look at something shiny and naturey, and I'm like,
Okay.
what is this? A lot of meandering.
Excellent. Tell me, how about you?
Kind of enjoying the view, but when things get really boring, she's going to entertain her friends with dramatic readings from the Blood and Chocolate series.
Wonderful. You all are captivated by the florid descriptions and the magical realism, which magical realism in this world has a whole different meaning. It's just realism. What about Roisin?
I think Roisin would be practicing her magic and like getting used to it. I think she'd be keeping an eye on Ula. And like, I don't know, throwing something at her, like yelling at her when we're getting too far away kind of situation.
If you showed an ounce of interest in what I was looking at, you now have a collection of rocks, flowers, trees that are interestingly shaped. I'm just like, look at this one, and then I'm off on another one.
Oh yeah, for homework, by the way, for those of you that did send me the dumbest thing that your character has
Tommy,
done,
go ahead.
go ahead.
I was just going to say, Tommy would definitely be interested in what Rula's bringing back.
For those of you that turned it in, you get a one-time use of a +5 to an intelligence roll or intelligence save.
I have it. I just haven't typed it up because I was obviously busy.
Yeah. That's okay. You could if you get it in late, you still get the full plus five.
Cool.
And then Kes, what about you on these couple of days guarding this caravan?
I don't know.
Bored walking.
Do you want to spar?
Kinda. Not really.
Okay.
You want to play cards?
As long as I don't have to put money down.
Oh.
Now I will say, if you do want to play cards, Kes, there are card games kind of up and down the caravan that you could join.
Okay.
So
when we're stopped, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Like in the evening, like before you go to bed, but when it's not your shift to take watch.
Okay.
How much would you like to bet?
Well, what are people betting? Like, I don't want to come in with gold if people are throwing in.
There are levels you could, there are definitely like, you know, kind of like the laborers that are with these caravans, like other guards. They're kind of betting coppers. There's, you know, kind of better off merchants that are wagering silvers. And then there's a few wealthy merchants that are wagering gold.
Okay. I'll jump in with the high tier crowd and throw in. How much money do I have? Throw in 10 gold.
Okay. So go ahead and roll me a intelligence plus tool proficiency, because this would be a gambling check.
So just intelligence plus proficiency?
Yeah. Unless you're trying to sneak in your special deck. In which case, it'll be a whole different ballgame.
And then we'll just try this. Okay. So that is plus six. 16.
All right. And you wager 10 gold?
Mm-hmm.
You come out 1 gold ahead. So you okay. 11 gold back. Not bad. That is a day's wages for this trip.
Yeah.
Does Kes do this often on our trip?
Probably every night, yeah.
If I notice, could I go to Kes and be like, are you trying to make money?
Trying to win what I can. Why?
In like a touch the book kind of way or can't touch the book kind of way?
Either works for me. They're probably best not to make enemies while we're still on the road.
All right, fine. But next place we get to?
If we're not staying long.
Should we run a little con?
Oh, that's adorable.
I love this idea. I love this for you.
You've never taken anyone for a ride in your life, have you?
I will look at Kes with the biggest, most innocent eyes ever and say, no, but I would love to try it.
Sure.
Just let me know.
This coming from not a book toucher, but a book licker.
Chris, I messaged you.
Oh, great. Thank you. And you get your bonus.
Oh, that's not it. It's something related to this.
Oh, I just read the little...
the first part of it?
Mm. Okay. Roll me a perception check.
Okay.
Six.
13 plus. Oh, oh God, I'm not on the right thing. Perception. 1, 14.
Okay. And roll me a d4.
3.
Okay.
I don't like that part.
All right. All right, you don't notice anything like that.
Of course I don't.
But that said, the evening, so this is early in the morning on the 11th. Roisin, during your watch, what your passive perception is 13, right? You notice a shadowy figure skulking in the camp towards Kes.
What's the vibe? Are they like, do they have like a knife out? And they're like,
Roll me, you don't see a knife with your perception. You can roll me pass. You can roll me an insight check if you want.
Right. Don't worry, guys. I got this. Oh, I might. 19.
They are. You don't. They don't. They. Don't seem to be armed, but they do seem to be skulking in a manner to try to avoid drawing any unwanted attention.
Can I do? Oh,
wait, and they are definitely though beelining towards where Kes is. I guess you guys have tents, or are you just in sleeping bags?
Sleeping bag.
Yeah, towards Kes's sleeping bag.
Okay. Can I try to stealth up to them?
Yeah, roll me a stealth check.
Okay. Guidance. Just kidding. Ooh. An 11.
You start to stealth over and step on a branch, and they just run off into the night.
Can I? Oh. Well. Can I shoot magic at them?
Yeah, if you'd like.
Well, no, they didn't. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know that they were. They were just being creepy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'll just. Okay. Did I see anything else about them, or just a shadowy figure?
Shadowy figure.
Okay.
Humanoid. It's pretty dark. They're outside of your dark vision range. Or I guess you don't have dark vision, you have blind sight. So yeah, just didn't get a good look at them in the dark, but you knew they were there.
All right. Oh my God, I don't have dark vision?
No, you have blind sight of 10 feet.
Why did I ever choose this character?
Bad you'll have job. To get some night vision goggles, first chance you get.
Yeah.
All right, so. Do you let Kes know about that, or?
Yeah. Well, when he wakes up.
Okay.
Hey, Kes.
Yeah. What?
I don't know. I know you've been playing a lot of cards, and I know you like to dip your toes into the nefarious things sometimes. This might be unrelated. I don't know. You know, I haven't been playing cards with you, but earlier this morning when you were sleeping and I was watching, there was a shadowy, nefarious figure kind of, you know, creeping up to your sleeping bag while you were in it. I tried to sneak up on them, but didn't go so well.
Mm.
But they looked like they wanted something with you and were trying to be sneaky about it.
Well, thanks for letting me know.
Yeah. In the future, would you prefer I watch or attack? Or what's your vibe? What do you like?
I guess, yeah, keep an eye on them. See what they're up to. Maybe all wake right. me up if you think it's prudent.
All right, will do.
Okay. As you, so on this, the 11th, the Sylvian, As you continue along the road, the tree, the sort of foresty area you're going through, the trees start to thin out and become a little more scarce as you all start to gain some elevation. You see foothills starting to rise off into the distance. Everything just gets a little more hard and scrabbled under the ground. And eventually you crest over a hill as the sun starts to get low in the sky and see a settlement on the next hill over. A large black structure looming over it. In the center of it, you see a kind of wall of stone that is not entirely around it, but seems to be at strategic points around this fort, this city. And you realize that you all are getting close to Black Glass. As you guys see that, Hugh Grant and his big hat come riding down towards the end, just kind of says to you guys, all right, well, we're just about at Black Glass. Unfortunately, we didn't arrive in time to make it into the city tonight. So we'll be stopped out here this evening, but we'll be making our way to town tomorrow. So
they don't let people in after dark?
Well, yes, the people that are responsible for, you know, inspecting the carts only work during the day hours.
Oh, customs, huh?
Yeah. he says, but we'll be coming to a stop here in the next hour or so. Once we enter the city tomorrow, you guys will have a couple days off if you want it.
Okay.
All right, so he...
anything you suggest that we do? Visit? See? While we're here?
He says, depends. How much do you like obsidian?
Meh.
I never really thought about it.
City's overrun with it. You should check it out.
Cool.
Okay.
That's 5 minutes.
And as he says that, you actually see, like, kind of loosely in the dirt nearby, just a shard of like raw black obsidian that's just sort of kind of on the surface of the soil nearby.
I pick it up.
Cool. Look at it. It's just a nice little hunk of obsidian. Has a slightly, it is weirdly like slightly warm to the touch.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Rocks are usually cool to the touch.
Yes, they are.
I will be now finding all the obsidian I can.
All right. So,
is it all slightly warm?
Yeah.
Weird.
So you find another piece and another piece. You start to walk off. Roisin, you notice this, of course. and then your eyes catch something, Willa, that you've never seen before, at least up this close. There is a large field of crops.
Oh, what kind of crops?
Roll me a nature check.
I was busy eating and I didn't actually get out my dice. One moment, please. There's one. Wow, that really traveled. Nature?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why nature is an intelligence-based skill. It doesn't make any sense, but it's a 12.
A 12? You're not sure, but it's fascinating.
Are they tall, short?
Oh, they're tall. Yeah, tall. In real life, it's corn, but...
I was like, give Caitlin some real life contact here.
But you would...
Okay, cool. I will probably... investigate.
Cool. You start to walk off towards the cornfield.
I'll follow.
Roisin follows. What did the rest of you do?
I'll follow them too.
Okay.
I guess I'll follow along as well.
Hey, Ren.
What? Please don't meet.
All right.
job because I'm on a tangent.
So oh, you all follow Ula on this corn tangent.
One short person to another, we can get really lost in there.
Really?
Yeah. It's hard to find shit.
Roisin.
At your way out.
I say your name and then vault up you. I look over. How big is the cornfield?
It stretches for like hundreds of acres. It's huge.
Wow.
How tall did you say they are?
These are like 8 foot, 9 feet tall stalks of corn.
Oh, dang.
9 feet tall.
Fantasy corn.
Fantasy corn is tall.
It's taller than me.
I, Caitlin, knowing what corn is and the things that, just all the things, Roisin will hop down and go touch one, hear the sound it makes, and then just start and just making a ruckus with all the sound that it makes.
As you approach the corn, a figure shambles out of it.
Oh, fuck no.
You see...
A shambling figure.
You see what looks to be an undead zombie. And it is coming towards you with a giant scythe in its hand.
Turn undead!
What's that?
Turn undead!
Alright, so it needs to make a wisdom save against that?
Probably. Let me bring that up. La-dee-da-dee-da. Where's that? Oh my god, where is it? There it is. Nope, that's not it. I'm sorry. It's been more than a day since I last looked at this.
No worries.
wisdom saving throw. DC. What's my DC? Who fucking knows? Probably 13? 14.
So you do that. What's that look like when Ula casts Turn Undead? This is the first time that you've done it.
I think that all of Ula's magic has a little, this one in particular, has the look of what happens in water when force goes through it. So it's just like an invisible, like, force through the air. It's not color, there's nothing visible really to see except for, like, maybe a slight pressure change in your ears and a visible wave of the same colored, just air.
All right, so you do this. The zombie drops its scythe and starts like shambling away from you. And you hear the sounds of other implements in the field being dropped and more shambling away.
Should we kill it?
I think you frightened the farm workers.
And after a few minutes, you hear, what in the hell? And you see a... short gnome wearing kind of dark robes coming running out of the cornfield and then sees a lot of you and stops.
Do you need saving?
What did you do to my workers?
They're undead.
Yeah, damn right.
What? How do you have control over them?
Well, I'm the one that raised them.
From when they were baby zombies?
I guess in a sense, yeah. I was there for their rebirth.
Why?
He points to his amazing crop of corn.
What?
He says it's a lot cheaper than hiring people. And they work hard. They're not enslaved, they're undead. Them. They have no consciousness to speak of.
Where did you get
that
them?
You know?
Yeah, what if they have people who care about them who thought they were buried and being respected?
Yeah.
He says, I'm not a monster. He says, people sell their dead bodies to me when they're alive.
What? Ooh.
You guys, if I die, please don't sell my body to anybody.
He says, yeah, no, they're not going
to. Saying save. You would have to have sold him your body while you were still alive.
Yeah, I don't do anything against anybody's will. But people want to make a few coin while they're still living.
Huh.
All right. I mean, kind of like
when,
Kind of like when you have that like little piece of wood that tells people who you are, that identifies who you are, and you have a little heart on it, and that means that when you're dead, they can take your organs.
Like he that. Says, I don't know what kind of butchery you get up to. He says, I just take the whole corpse.
That's funny.
All right. Huh. Well, are they still, are you okay? Are they going to come back to you?
I hope so. What did you do to them? I guess that's what I need to know.
I turned them away. I abjured them.
Oh, he looks, he squints. He says, are you some sort of holy person?
If I could turn undead twice, I'd go ahead and do it right now. But I can't.
I'm not undead.
I still could make a point.
In our defense, one of them did come out with a giant scythe.
Yeah!
He did. He was really...
And there's no signs that say... Careful, zombies with weapons here. They're not trying to attack you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you should definitely put up some signs.
Mm. Yeah.
Has this not ever happened before?
No.
Really? Wow.
He says, he says, most people stick to the road.
Are we far away from the road?
Yeah, you've got a fair bit astray from the road.
So I look back and I go, oh, right. My bad.
Your corn is so beautiful. Could I pick up the scythe? How do you do this?
He kind of like takes a reflexive like kind of hands in the air.
See? You would feel threatened too.
He says, I think my zombies know how to use the scythe. I'm not so sure about you.
She's very really talented.
He says, can I have my scythe back?
Yeah.
he takes it. It's a big for him too. He's a small creep. He's a gnome.
That's right.
And he sets it down. And he kind of looks over at the road in the caravan. And he says, it's nice a caravan's coming in. He says, any good goods?
Depends what you're looking for.
He says, anybody looking a bit near the end close of their days?
Oh my god, you weirdo.
I don't know, there's somebody with the
backwards perception.
Backwards perception?
Remembering perception.
Yeah, appropriate perception check.
Oh, 18. Have I seen anyone that looks like they're going to die?
No. Everyone on this trip seems pretty hale and hearty.
Yeah, I figured that.
There is a man. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I haven't seen anyone like old and sick or anything.
There is a man wearing a very large hat that you might be able to convince. But I don't think he's close to death.
You never know.
Okay.
It could be.
Out of curiosity, what do you pay somebody for their remains?
He says it depends. He says on how far in the future they think they're gonna expire and you know, if how fit they are.
Is there like some sort of legal documents they have to sign? And is it, does it have to be like a witness that they're of sound mind and body?
He says, anyway, on the order of 15 to 20 gold pieces. There's some paperwork. Make sure everything's on the up and up.
No, that's not much.
How many workers do you keep at a time?
He says, I got about 2 dozen.
Whoa. Do you have to like concentrate and make sure they do things, or do they just do what you ask on their own?
He says, there's a, gosh, Let me just check one thing real quick.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
We really latched on. You threw undead at us.
And then questionable morality.
Yeah.
Oh, they changed it. I think they changed the spell.
Well.
He says I have to work with them every day.
Do you talk to them?
Well, I'm always jabbering at them. They're not much for conversation though, but yeah, I tell it what to do. Or them what to do.
How long have you been doing this?
He says, well, this is my fifth season doing this. He says, used to be an adventuring sort. Then decided I didn't like that anymore.
I was almost worried he was going to say like 300 years.
He says, so this seemed like a novel use of my talent. This was a struggling farm when I took it over.
Well, good job.
Well, thank you.
What's your name, by the way?
Tobias.
Tobias.
Tobias Shadowstride.
That's a cool name.
I'm a necro farmer.
Might want to workshop that job title.
I was pretty pleased when I came up with it.
Necro farmer. Yep.
What's his last name again?
Shadowstride.
Looking around, are there other farms in this like area?
This one seems to be pretty big. Roll me a perception check, though. See if you can see one off further in the distance.
A whole nine.
Yeah, this is the only one you can see from here.
You want to get up on my shoulders to have a better look?
I do not.
All right.
Well, this close to the city, I'm sure you have no problem selling your crops.
Oh, not at all. Not at all, he says. And with the generally warm and year-round warm environment here, he says, I'm able to grow different crops all times of year. So he says, in fact, that's what my zombie friend here was doing with the scythe, who's getting ready to start harvest. He says, this corn's about ready to come in. And he reaches over and he grabs an ear and yanks it off the stalk and kind of takes, you know, unwraps it, and you take your hand out. He hands it to you. It looks
like normal corn.
It looks like sweet corn. He says,
"Pretty nice."
And he actually, there's five of you. He actually produces four more ears, hands them to you guys. He says, "Boil it up and throw some butter on there, and you get yourself a good dinner."
Okay,
eat it raw, you get the shits.
Thank you. Do you know from experience?
I don't think I ever actually. I definitely took at least one or two mouthfuls as a kid, but was told that that was what would happen to me. So don't fucking do it.
Well, I eat anything, I get the shits, so.
Fair enough. It was many years before I made that correlation to just food in general.
Those are nice looking grains. You ever think about opening a distillery?
He says, I haven't, but I like the cut of your jib. He says, could zombies work a still?
Imagine why not.
He says, it's hard getting the them to just do the farm tasks I need them to do, but he says, adding in potentially explosive liquids maybe isn't a good idea, or maybe is the best idea.
Or you could hire some real people.
Well, if you have the zombies do it, then if it explodes, real people will die.
Oh,
if it, I mean, people won't die. I'm not convinced.
All right. Well, he says, well, if there's anything else, I gotta go collect some undead here. Is
Thanks for the corn.
a channel divinity, is turn undead, does that just last a period or?
They used to.
Up to a minute, I think.
That's what I thought. I just wasn't sure if
They
they'd
used
changed
to. I
it.
don't know if they changed it.
Yeah, 1 minute.
He says, I think he says they've stopped moaning as much. I think they've calmed down from whatever it is you did to them. So,
Go herd some zombies. Get on the little miniature horse.
right. So you all head back to your caravan. And, prepare to make camp for the evening. So, who's keeping watch? And is anybody getting up to any shenanigans as the sun sets?
I'll keep first watch.
I'll take second watch, but I spend all of Tomy's watch collecting as much obsidian as I can find within like a 60 to 90 foot radius around our camp.
Roll me a perception check.
Balls. Bad. 10.
Then you get about a half pound of obsidian.
That's not a lot.
I'm gonna spend some of my time before we actually start watch making some special treats.
Cool.
Oh, no.
Also, Amanda, you're pretty quiet, so I don't know if you can if you're.
Oh, I was kind of talking quiet too, I think.
Oh, okay. All right. What about anybody else?
Has to take third watch.
Okay.
And he's also going to finish off the final chapters of Arm of Steel.
Nice.
He's been reading it on the road.
Reading by campfire.
I think if Tomy's busy making special treats, I think Roisin's gonna be missing the read along or whatever, and is gonna, whether anyone listens or not, read aloud a little bit, but it's not gonna be very good.
What is Roisin reading?
whatever, I don't know, probably one of Haman's smutty books or something. I don't know. I'm
Listening.
So I'm curious, like when you say not very well, like is it just sort of like does your character struggle to read, or is it more just like very monotonic,
Oh, yes, he said, right there. Best way.
I don't think this author knows where the prostate is located.
All right. So,
I love
it is
that.
a quiet night, this close to the city. There are no incidents on your watches. And you all wake up in the morning, fully rested. You see, as the carts get moving, and you head, closer into the city, you catch with your, those of you that have, oh, so just Ula, you're the one that has that passive perception above 15. You just catch unsettling movement in the corn as the workers go out for their reaping of the tasks.
Make sure I'm on the other side of the wagon train from that nonsense, because it's nonsense.
And it takes actually a while to get through the checkpoint into the city. So it's a little afternoon when your cart finally. The cart in front of you finally makes it through the guards, into the city. As the cart goes in, the sort of customs inspectors just sort of wave you on past since you're not, you know, importing a bunch of goods into the city. They don't really care what you have or what you're doing.
As we leave the carts, I'm going to give Whisker a couple of the treats I made him and tell him I'll see him in a few days.
He says, I look forward to it and the treats.
I don't have my
speaker. Oh, you didn't turn your thing on?
No.
Okay. He just greedily eats the treats then. Sir Greg, as you hand the whisker a treat, he expectantly holds a paw up.
I'll hand him half of one of the horse treats because he's too small to hold the whole thing.
He eats it greedily as if he has won some sort of battle.
And then I'll give him the other half.
He mouths that down too. All right. So you make your way into Black Glass. As that cart in front of you comes up, Hugh Grant comes up to you all and gives you each 4 gold pieces for your daily wages.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I guess this would be day 5. So 5 gold pieces. And then another 20 gold pieces apiece. He says, that's the tip from everybody for your heroics in taking care of the Etten and the bandits.
So we just got 30 gold?
25
apiece. 25.
Nice.
Yeah, 30.
Thanks.
Yes.
We just round up.
We could buy like 2 dead bodies with this, I say.
Under circumstances.
I feel like there could be some circumstances.
Fair.
You never know.
Right?
I don't like them.
I don't.
In general,
or when they're walking around?
Maybe. All right. So you all make your way into this city. Like I said, it's on a hilltop. So as you're coming into it, you're going uphill. And it's the city is kind of set up in rings. This outer ring that you're in is more residential. You see buildings made with stone foundations that come up almost all the way to the top of the first floor and then have half timber second stories on that. Along this main stretch of road that you're on, you see a couple taverns and a few temples on the sides of the roads.
Temples to who?
You see a Kasuba temple. It is this large building overgrown with moss that's right on the edge of town. And then you also, a little further in, see a house that has been converted to a temple of Gwynnelly.
Why do they have a building that's run down? Why is no one taking care of that building? It's covered in moss.
Anybody that would like to answer that question can roll a religion check.
Once again, an intelligence-based skill that seems silly that it's intelligence-based.
Well, it's your knowledge of religion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still don't like it. What did you say the god was?
4.
There was the moss covered building was Kasuba.
Oh, Kasuba.
Is that a C or a
Khasuba? You can find more about it.
Mm-hmm.
That name is completely unfamiliar to me. I'm actually in the book right now because I, Caitlin Sims, don't know that name.
That is not a deity that you've encountered before, I think, in your previous campaign.
But he's also a turtle.
Mm-hmm. So what folks get on their religion rolls that are interested 4. In ants?
A fucking 2.
13. The super.
I'm going to edify myself in real life.
7. All the religion I know is from Smut.
We don't know.
Yeah, none of you have heard of Kasuba before.
No.
It's too bad because this is really interesting. Tell us on air, Chris.
Yeah, there you go.
About Kasuba, the creator of abundance.
Yes.
The young appearing as a young turtle with a moss-covered shell, that the god of fecundity and wilderness. That their holy symbol is a nest of eggs representing fertility. And in fact, you all do see above the door of this moss-covered temple a large nest that is filled with various eggs.
See, there's even a nest outside. Some creature's made its home there. It's fine. It just doesn't fit with the rest of the city, you know.
As you are saying that, you see a young looking couple that appear to be very in love are walking out of the temple, holding hands, and kind of nod at you friendly as they continue past.
Hmm.
Would I be drawn to this or not so much?
It's up to you.
It's kind of in the same wheelhouse, but different.
I mean, would your character be curious about a religion that they hadn't heard of before?
Oh, I'm for sure curious about it. Do we still need to stay with the...
No, Hugh has relieved you of your duties. I guess he just said that you all are free to roam about the city. They'll be here for a couple days to, for the various caravan, people to sell goods, trade goods, and do their jobs. But basically, he just said, check back in 2 days, he'll give you an update on when they think they'll be ready to go.
You guys have created and supported a monster. Without saying anything, Ula just starts walking towards what is making her curious. Just off she goes.
Okay.
All right.
Follow her. I feel like Tomi knows that she hasn't seen a whole lot of stuff, so she's always up for seeing. She enjoys seeing Ula see new things.
Ula could show you anywhere around her home city, not here. This is all strange. So she goes up to the thing. She doesn't even go inside. I don't think she's seen this much moss before. Mm-hmm. So I definitely start, I'm picking at it. Mm-hmm. I'm picking at it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. What's your nature? Like, do you have nature as a skill, or is that just...
No, I am dumb. I guess technically I do have history, but no, I don't have nature or religion or that's it.
I love it when clerics don't have religion,
right?
It's my favorite thing.
Well, and especially since my god is nature based and I don't have nature as a skill. Pretty funny.
It's also amazing,
but it's not about knowing things. It's about being in it. So.
I will say,
I think she's very informed on nature and how the natural world works. Mm-hmm. She's never ever read a book, nor can she really convey concepts or highbrow shit about nature. But if
she with that,
she vibes. If you plop her down, she's gonna figure it out. So.
I will say something you do pick up because of just your kind of sixth sense about moisture is, you know that you're in a very kind of arid, hot area. And so as you touch the moss, it's damp. And then you kind of realize how it's very weird for this to even be here because moss requires kind of a moist, cool environment to grow.
I smell it.
Smells earthy.
I start taking a lot of the obsidian, which is also not the way it should be because it's warm, not cold. Mm-hmm. And I start piling the obsidian in between the mossy rocks. And I'm just unloading my bag from all the obsidian that I've been collecting over the last half day.
What are the rest of you doing while she does this?
I lean over to Cass and I go, how long do you think until she licks it?
Honestly, that's more Hey Rin's thing, isn't it?
Bold of you to assume eventually. I haven't already licked this obsidian.
As you are putting the last of your obsidian in the wall, the door opens, and out steps a... a very old looking, just very loose, wrinkly skin, bald, looks to be perhaps a half elf, wearing just a very, very plain clothing, but with a just very friendly looking face. And he kind of looks at you and the obsidian and your group, and he says, hello, is this an offering to Kasuba?
No, why is this wet and this warm? This should be dry because it's dry here, and this should be cool because it's a rock. It doesn't make sense.
I'd also like to know those things.
Yeah, good questions.
And I hold them out until he holds out his hands and I put them in his hand.
He receives them. He says, well, why don't you come in out of the sun and I'll tell you all about it.
Okay.
And he steps back inside the temple, leaving the door open behind him as an offering you to follow him inside.
I don't.
Tomi is sus. What about the rest of y'all? Aaron's marching in.
Aaron's with me.
Tomi's not necessarily sus. She's just not interested in anything when a priest or somebody religious says that to her.
Yeah.
Tell y'all about it if you come inside the church with me.
Nope.
No.
Kes is starting to wander off elsewhere. So
He says, you know, flips the chair around, sits in it backwards. You know who else had a warm rock? Jesus. All right, so
out.
Hey Rin and Ula. They're going. Also, Caitlin, would you change your Zoom name?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Hey Rin and Ula are gonna go into the temple. What about Roisin?
Sorry. I said I was going to go in.
You three are going in. Tomi and Kes, we'll come back to you in just a moment. All right. So you all walk inside this building. It's very cool on the inside, much cooler than it is outside. It actually kind of, hey, Ren and Ula, you both kind of, the whole vibe of it just kind of reminds you of like a nice cave. Everything is done in like warm earthy colors. There isn't like this, there's no like pews or anything like that. Instead, it's like a series of almost like cozy conversation pits. And the cleric leads you all into one of those conversation pits and has a seat. He says, I hope you don't mind. It's just hard for me to stand for extended periods of time. And you seem like the type of people that might have a lot of questions.
Maybe, if your answer isn't good. Why is the rock wet when it's dry?
Hot.
No, there's one hot. Rock that's covered in moss and so is a little damp. And there's another one that's the obsidian is warm when it should be cold.
He says, well, I guess I'll answer the mossy question first. He says, we keep our temples covered in moss to keep the insides cool, but also as an homage to the deity that we worship, Kasuba. He appears to us as a turtle with a moss-covered shell. And so, in a sense, this building is, meant to evoke his mossy shell. Their mossy shell.
And why are the obsidian warm?
Well, they always have been. He says that they're infused with a latent magic. He says, and which makes them quite popular with the artisans around here. Or they've grown quite adept at honing that magic into various uses.
Like what kind of uses?
Oh, well, mostly for weapons, unfortunately. He says, though, there are some that are turned into tools, and more than a few that make jewelry of various kinds. I prefer the jewelry makers myself, but weapons are a tool as well, I suppose.
You don't like violence?
He says, I am not a fan of it myself, no. I prefer to usher in life than end it.
Roisin,
He says, I've never killed anybody in my entire life, but I have delivered at least 500 children into this world.
Because childbirth is not violent at all.
It's kind of the OG violence. Let's be real right now.
He says,
sounds like you are really party to a lot of violence.
He says, actually, he says, with our, that's where, as we act as doulas for those that are going to conceive a child, and we're able to make the process as peaceful and pain-free as possible for them.
I'm sorry, is this, in your world, does childbirth not hurt?
I mean, it does normally, but this person...
Say, I'm asking Chris.
Yeah, childbirth hurts.
Okay.
You're pushing a watermelon, sometimes with horns,
yeah,
through a lemon sized hole. So yeah, it fucking hurts.
What was Roshim's reaction to the violence or the thing? What? Sorry, Roshim, you were saying that you reacted or said something.
I don't remember.
Sorry, I interrupted.
Sorry. Oh no, it's okay.
Sorry, we had to talk about the birds and the bees for a second.
I mean, you gotta talk about them.
My bee.
He says, my bird. He says, so anyway, he says, but yes, so you know, I usher life into the world, try to make it a pleasant and peaceful a process as I can.
Do you use obsidian for that or no?
Me, for the birthing process, no.
Well, but don't you use magic? Or how do you help with the birthing process?
With magic, with the magic that my god gives me, yes.
Interesting.
He says, people also, we also pray to Kasuba for a good harvest.
Well, oh, did you pray about the corn?
His face kind of, I wouldn't say darkens. He's not ever a person that's had a darkened face, but it looks a little less hospitable for a moment as you bring up that field.
Or do you not like corn?
He says, no, I enjoy corn. He says, I assume you're referring to the necro farmer, as he calls himself.
Indeed, yeah.
He says, I'm not a fan of using the corpses of the living for labor, but he is free to do what he will.
Yeah. It doesn't really seem...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, everything he does is with the permission of those bodies he's using, so...
Yeah.
He's committed no crime.
All right, so obsidian is not helpful for healing, but it's helpful for harming? Is that what I'm gathering?
He says, I suppose I'm not sure how one would use it for healing, but perhaps there are applications there that haven't been considered. He says, but yes, primarily they're used for weapons or tools, or for decoration.
Cool.
He said they were magical, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're not genuinely magical, though. They just have some sort of resonance or something?
They do hum with a magical energy. That's what gives them their warmth.
I'm going to hold one of the pieces of obsidian and cast Bless through it at Roshin and Heyrun and myself.
Oh, trying to use it as an arcane focus?
Uh-huh. Does it do anything different?
It is not a divine implement of your god, so nothing happens.
Okay. So it's not fully magical. It's probably wizard magical.
He says, and also I think... The magic has to be coaxed out of it. In its current form, it is unusable from what I can gather.
Huh.
The potential is there, though. The energy is there. It just needs to be refined.
Okay. I'll coax it out. Give it a little rub down. It'll be all good.
Yes, absolutely.
Cool.
We're in a church. I mean, temple.
He says, you're in a temple of that helps people conceive children. I've seen it all. He says I have no hang-ups about the beautiful act of sexual intercourse. He says,
nope. And I turn around and walk out.
you might like some books that my friend Hagrid here enjoys.
I also have no hang-ups about anything.
He says, well, don't hold out on me. What do you got? And we'll cut from there to Tess and Tomy. Go ahead.
How big is the city and how densely populated?
It is, let's see. You would gather it's kind of like a small to medium-sized city. Big enough that, like, the houses get fancier as you get closer to the center, but not, like, dense enough that, like, it looks like these are mostly, like, people are living, like, in townhouses, even out here on the outskirts. Like, people, there's, like, enough space for everybody to kind of have their own space. That makes sense.
Okay. And you said kind of the outer ring we're on is mostly residential?
Yeah.
And then as like the commercial area closer to the center?
So yeah, as you get closer, there's kind of like more of the artisan commercial district where a lot of these obsidian workers are. And then the center of town where this large black structure is kind of the upscale part of town.
Okay. Guess is going to start wandering. And he's going to pull a copper coin mm-hmm. out of his bag of holding. And anytime he comes to an intersection, he's going to flip the coin. And if it's head, mm-hmm. he goes left. And if it's tails, he goes right.
Awesome.
And he's just going to start wandering through the city, kind of getting a feel for its vibe, listening to mm-hmm. people talk, seeing what they're up to. He may not be a... It may not be his natural habitat, but he's very much adapted to the urban environment. So mm-hmm. he wants to try and get into the groove of this place.
Okay. And while you're doing that, Cass, tell me, what are you doing?
I'm going to keep walking down this road ways towards what seems like the middle.
Okay. Of pretty easy to find.
Yeah. And I want to look for just like the most attention-grabbing sort of type of store that I can see.
Okay. Okay. So, like
some fun tchotchkes or whatever.
So, Matt, rather than having you throw flip a coin 8 times in a row, roll me a d20. Tell me what you get.
Sixteen.
So you make your way kind of through this residential district, taking a turn into walking a fair bit around, sort of not so as you walk towards the center, you go uphill, and then kind of side to side is kind of level. So you walk level a bit through this artisan district, seeing various like shops where you see people working with the obsidian. You see lots of magical forges. Not like, interestingly, not like the very big ones that you see in a lot of places. These are smaller, a little smaller. And the mostly what you can see people are working are these black rocks.
Out of curiosity,
mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but the magical forges I would have seen in Nashima, would those have been marked with Inca's symbol?
Yes.
Are the ones here marked with that symbol?
They do not appear to be, no.
Interesting. Okay.
As you make your way, you eventually kind of come into a dead-end alley. And this is sort of still in that artisan district. And you see there is a, looks to be a middle, like sort of like a middle class tavern and end there with that just has a word written above it, the Anvil.
I'll take a peek inside through one of the windows. It appeared like they're, what time of day is it?
I'd say at this point, it's like early afternoon.
Early afternoon. Do they appear to be fairly busy?
Yeah, it appears to be pretty lively.
I'll take, I'll pop inside and probably wander up to the bar.
Okay, so you walk inside. It is, you know, Sun's Day, so Fantasy Friday. So you see a lot of artisans who've kind of kipped off early for the weekend here, laughing and carousing. There's a bard playing in the corner, kind of some jaunty music. You see the bard is a tiefling woman, and she's got a hat at the bottom that's got some coppers thrown into it, and the occasional silver piece. You make your way up to the bar where you see a what looks to be a lizard person working it. And he kind of is wiping it down. And he looks over at you and he says, "Ah, welcome in. I haven't seen you before. You new in town?"
"Yeah, it's passing through with a caravan."
"Ah, nice. Oh, I didn't know when it's coming in today. That's great. Means more business for me."
"Mm-hmm."
He says, "What'll be for you?"
"Don't suppose you have any rice wines back there?"
He says, "Let me check." He kind of scurries under and looks under his counter. He says, "I'm sorry, we don't."
"That's okay. What's local and what's good?"
He says, "Those are mutually exclusive ideas, my friend." he says, "What's local," he says, "is grain alcohol. It'll get you drunk in a hurry." He says, "Very slim chance it might make you blind." He says, "What's good," he says, "is I still have a cask of a really nice dwarven ale from the last caravan that came through." He says, "It's still pretty fresh."
"Yeah, that sounds pretty good. I'll take a mug of that in your name."
"Ah, name's Tariq," he says. "And yours?"
"Tariq. Pleasure to meet you. I'm Kes."
T-A-R-R-I-K. And he goes over and gets you a mug of a fine dwarven ale. He says, "Two cup."
"I'll give him three."
"Oh, thank you very much." He says, what was your name?"
"Kes."
"Yes, well, Kes, yeah. I always like a friendly face and a generous tipper."
"Oh, I always like a good bartender and a handsome face, so."
"Oh." He says, "If I weren't so cold-blooded, I'd blush."
"So, it's my first time here in your fine city. Anything interesting you can tell me about it? I'm going to be here for a couple days."
He says, "You like obsidian?"
"First time really interacting with it. Apparently it's warm, according to a friend of mine who picked up a piece."
"Oh, yeah, that's the obsidian around here. It's special."
"Mm-hmm. Something magical about it, I'm guessing?"
"Something like that. I don't know. I just serve drinks. But it's everywhere here, and people make trips here just for it." He says, "What I find more interesting is they got a whole, you know, fortress up there built out of it." He says, "Where'd all that obsidian come from?"
"Good question. How long have you been living here?"
He says, I was hatched here, so my whole life."
"Whole life. I still don't know. Still don't know where all that came from. That's interesting."
"I mean, people come in with the theories. I just know it's been here longer than I've been alive, and it's not my scene." He says, I can't afford to be up there."
"Oh, is that where the fancy Dans live?"
"Yeah," he says, "that's where the elder is and all his lack." "Oh, yeah, yeah. The leader of the nation, Lyrael."
"Lyrael, interesting.
L-I-R-A-E-L.
Also, I'm sorry, you said the leader of the nation? This is a capital city?"
He says, "Yeah." He says, "This is the capital of the Maitoi nation."
"Oh."
Says, "You must be new to Locana."
"Yeah, very."
He says, He says, we're not actually one nation. We're 13.
Oh.
He says, we're a federation of them.
I see. Yeah. Actually, on my way to Jungle's Edge. So, like I said, just passing through. But it's been nice traveling through your federation.
It's kind of you to say it, though. I didn't make it. So, but I just live here. But he says, Jungle's Edge, huh?
Mm-hmm.
He says that's in the Moko Nation.
Anything I should worry about when it comes to the Mokos?
Not with the Mokos. They're pretty chill people. The only thing you got to worry about over there is the giant reptiles. And I'm not talking about people who look like me. I'm talking, you know, ones that are like 20, 30 feet tall, mouthful of big sharp teeth, huge claws.
Well, that sounds far less fun than you.
Yeah, he says, yeah, much more fun than that. He says, yeah, some of them got spikes in their tails.
We're going to find the fucking dinosaurs that you taunted us with, aren't we?
This is where they've been the whole time.
Ah!
I think Kes is going to nurse his mug of ale and spend a while chatting with Tariq. Because this is where... This is where Meshiha led him, so he's going to...
Tariq is very flirty and very friendly. Every time your ale gets low, it just seems to get full again somehow, but you don't get charged for it.
Yeah, I guess doesn't drink too much.
Not like...
Wants to keep a clear head, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right, Tomi.
Yes.
You walk straight towards the... big black shaft in the center of the city.
Yep.
I shouldn't say it's probably
attention grabbing.
Yeah, it is. It is this sheer black 40-foot tall structure. It's got kind of these sort of crystalline spires at the top of it. The entire thing almost looks like one very large gem.
Okay.
And as you make your way past the artisan district and into this sort of the nicer part of town, you see the buildings are all made completely of stone here. They're all capped out about 10 feet below the fortress here in the center of town. None of them are taller than it. So that you can see it from anywhere. And as you're just kind of walking around looking for this, the most gaudy sort of shop.
Not necessarily gaudy.
Or just eye-catching, flashy.
Yes, flashy.
You find yourself in a large plaza that is filled with all these vendors and traders with bright fabrics and... lots of places selling various obsidian jewelry and art pieces and weapons and things of that nature. And it's the middle of the afternoon on a Friday, you know, Sunday, and it is just swamped with people.
Nice. Cool. How far am I from the... How far have I walked?
Like time-wise or distance-wise?
Distance-wise.
Gosh, that's a great question. How big would the city be? Probably, I'd say probably almost a mile.
Okay, cool. Alrighty. I'm going to stop browsing around. I haven't really thought about what I'm looking for, so if you want to get somebody else, I can think about what I might be looking for.
I can just describe a few things that you smell some foods that are being sold here that have unfamiliar spices.
Ooh.
That seem unfamiliar to you. You see there's one stall that you can see them like grinding out corn and making it into essentially like fry bread. And they're selling that with like various jams and butters and then some that are savory. You see there's people that are selling ales and wines and some very gaudy but pretty jewelry that's made of this black. these black things.
I'm going to go up to one of the places where they're not the fried bread, but where they're cooking something with the spices that I can identify.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to buy one, order one. I'm going to take a piece off of it. Try it.
So what's Toby's like spice tolerance?
Adventurous.
Okay. Yeah, this is kind of habanero. This is kind of like habanero, like spicy. It's just sort of just like kind of like a little like pocket bread that's at the top carved out and like almost like a kind of thick curry chili inside of it.
Chris, whew. And then she grabs her water flask, just wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
Taste the tip. Goes, wasn't expecting that. So pretty hot. I was smelling the spices. I came in on the caravan. I was just wondering what it was. It smelled so delicious.
They like, oh, and they kind of show you like the peppers and like some of the like some of these like small little like fragrant berries that they grind up, and then they kind of point out like a vendor that's selling them if you want to buy some.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Welcome to the city.
I give them an extra little tip, and I go buy some.
Thank you.
Spices.
Okay, so you go on a spice adventure. Ula, you leave the temple disgusted. What do you do when you get outside? You stand outside, you don't see... Kess and Tomi are long gone.
Well, I think I just wait for Roisin and Heron to come out.
Okay. Roisin and Heron, how long do you spend in there chatting with... chatting with the priest.
I didn't have much more to say. Not long.
All right, so Heyren, you swap some, like, you get some, like, fresh books that you hadn't heard of before from him, and he takes some, like, you give him some of yours. And thus the smut continues.
Yeah. Like recommendations, or are we actually switching books?
I think it's actually just swapping books.
Yay, book swap. I'm so sorry. What is your name? I should have thought it.
He says, oh, thank you for asking. Many don't. he says, my name is Gryndor, Gryndor. He says, it's a pleasure to make your acquaintance.
You too. I'm Heyren.
Well, Heyren, how long are you planning on staying here for?
2 days at least.
He says, well, if you get through those books, come back and I can swap them out for some new ones.
Thank you.
He says, happy to help.
Bye.
And as like you get ready to leave, Ula, you see like another like couple walking towards the temple, and they smile and nod at you and walk into the temple. And as Heyren, as you get ready to say goodbye, yeah, this couple walks in and says, ah, well, if you'll excuse me, I've got my next people I need to talk to. So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you all are back outside, and it's very warm here. Not a lot of shade. It's just hot. What do y'all get up to?
Ula, are you okay? Oh, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Ula, are you okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Caitlin has a weird look in her thought because my brain went away for a little bit there. That wasn't Ula's face. That was Caitlin staring at the distance a little bit. My bad. Ignore that.
Ignore me.
I'm back now. do you guys want to go try to find stuff?
Sure. Like, we could look for what kind of weapons and tools
I'm are made of obsidian. Yeah.
Let's go looking for shit.
So, you all go to look for some shit.
Literally, Chris.
I'm talking about metaphorical shit. were you gonna, like, on the various tiers of town that you've already heard about, where are you going to kind of go look for the shit?
Probably closer to the artisan area, right? Because that's where they're actually working that stuff.
Okay, so you head kind of towards the middle part of town. You see a lot of the... these are also kind of more stone buildings. They look like they have homes above the shops. You see a lot of the places are already closed down for the weekend. But you see a few that are open where you see these sort of rainbowy flames as they heat up and pound these obsidian rocks into something a little more recognizable.
I mean, if there's one with like an open area where you can just watch, I'll just stand there and watch.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of them have like big open, you know, you can see them working from the street because it gets hot, especially with the heat. So they like to keep things open, keep the airflow going. You see, there's a few other people kind of watching these things happen. So it's not like it'd be out of the ordinary for you to just sort of be watching these people work.
Can we go to the one with the most attractive person?
Absolutely, you can. So you go to this shop where you see it is a just kind of a burly Goliath woman that she's got like just long hair that's tied back and just like bulging forearms as she hammers this obsidian piece into shape. Roisin, you went real blurry.
Oh no. Mm-hmm. Look at my hand. No. No. It only works sometimes.
That's weird.
Oh, well.
And she appears to be making looks to be a like a two-handed sword. So she heats it up. It doesn't glow red. It sort of, as she heats it up, it sort of glows with this sort of rainbow hue that you see of the flames. Mm. She heats it up and pounds it and quenches it.
Yep. This is becoming one of my favorite pastimes. Also, I'm laughing at pounds and quenches.
Me too.
And after a little bit, she sets the mostly finished sword on a stand, and wipes her brow and kind of comes over to the front of the shop near where you're standing and starts to like kind of take stuff in for the day.
So is she working obsidian as if it were metal?
No, that would be stupid.
Okay, never mind.
Hey, it's magic. It's magic. Yeah.
She's not working it like metal, but it's also not working like rock.
Okay.
It's weird. Yeah, it's very fantastical. It's magic. And magical.
Well, would it be more like working glass? Just getting incredibly hot and...
It is, yeah, I'll say it is somewhere between like metal and glass blowing, it looks like she's almost getting it to like kind of, you know, how glass can get melty.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like she's almost getting it to that state and then sort of pounding it into the shape she wants.
So like a Newtonian solid, it melts down and it's glass like, but whenever she hits it with the hammer, it actually resists the hammer.
Yeah.
Sure.
Brain.
Ula's the only one out of the three of us who's paying any attention to the process.
Ula is completely at sea with all of this, pun intended, but Caitlin like It's very narrow for me.
excuse me.
Oh, yeah. What's up?
I was just wondering what one of those weapons you're making goes for normally.
She says, are you looking to buy one?
I'm more curious.
She's bi curious.
Yeah.
if you didn't already have inspiration.
I didn't. I reused it last time.
Well, you get it every start of every session.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's less exciting.
You just can't say anything fun until after you've used it.
She says it depends on the quality of the blade. She says, and also what you want it to do.
Well, what are my options?
She says, what sort of... she kind of eyes you up and down. She says, you look like a fiery sort. She says, what sort of shit you dealing with on a day-to-day basis?
Things that need to be killed. I mean,
right, but are you like fighting in an army? Or are you fighting like weird fucking creatures? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, we're a band of adventurers, so you know, it's just really whatever comes up. So creatures, yeah, or wayward people who are being dickheads.
She says, you know, she says, one of my, she says, let's just say, for example, that you are in the market for, my finest blade. She says that would cost somewhere between 25 to 30,000 gold pieces.
All right. That seems very fair. It looks like you worked really hard on this.
I have worked really hard on it. There's also, you know, it takes a lot of this obsidian to make and some other, you know, rare fucking elixirs and chemicals and shit. But she says, but, you know, I've got, you know, she says, if you're just looking for an extra sharp blade, she says, you know, that's, you know, you're looking more like 250, 500 gold for that.
That's cool.
She says, you know, it's pretty, I think it's pretty dope.
Just the fact that the sword is made out of, or the weapon is made out of obsidian and that it's extra sharp, or?
She says, well, there's a magical edge to it that I'm able to bring to the forefront.
Ribbed? And...
Serration? no, it is... she says, not rib, no. She says, I do make rib things, but not weapons.
What did those go for? I'm so cold in the back. Just watching this thing.
She says, those are a lot more affordable, she says, and if you need a demonstration.
We'll let you know.
She says, now, back to blades. She says, the obsidian has some very magical properties that steel doesn't have. She says, in addition to, you know, not being, you know, in addition to the magical edge, you know, some sneaky ass wizards will attempt to make you drop your sword by heating the metal up. Well, boom, this isn't metal, is it?
Oh, that's sick.
She says, also, for whatever reason, undead hate this shit, so...
Hey, Ula, what? Did you hear that?
Can you add something to my trident?
She says, guys, let me see your trident.
I pull it out, and it goes, bzz, bzz, and then I hand it to her.
She says, you're... Your blades are incorporeal.
Oh yeah, I guess.
She hands it back to you.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
She says, I guess I could put tines on there, but I think that might ruin the effect that you're going for.
No, never mind.
She says now, you, not to make snap judgments, but you look like perhaps the holy sort.
Yeah.
She says, you know, there are people that sell holy symbols that are made of the stuff.
Is there anybody who sells stuff? Do they do it for any gods, or do you have to go to a specific one for a specific god? I like one god.
She says, yeah, most people who need them do only focus on the one. She says, but yeah, no, they have with as many, you know, caravans and the like that we get here. I mean, we also ship these off to other places. They've got a wide variety of gods. So unless you're, you know, worshiping some sort of like snake cult demigod or something, I think you should be fine.
Funny you should mention that. Where do I go to find those people?
She says, top of the hill. She says, there's a big plaza there filled with all sorts of people selling all sorts of stuff.
Cool. And I pipe down and wait my turn again. For once.
This has been very enlightening. Thank you.
She says, well, happy to help out. She says, don't see a Goliath here too often.
Isn't she a Goliath?
Yeah, that's why she's calling it out.
Yeah, I haven't seen a Goliath in a while.
She says, you gonna be in town long?
Sure. What's it to you?
She says, well, she says, I just got off work. I don't know when you get off, but she says, I usually
get off any time.
She says, I usually get off about 14 minutes after I start fucking. So if you want to go get a drink.
All right. You guys got this?
We got this.
I take Ula's hand and skip away.
Bye. That's so funny. I knew to leave. People get that look in their eye and you leave. That's why I left the temple.
If someone gets a look, what's the look?
The look that was just on their faces. My face doesn't make that look because I don't want that. So I can't make that look on my face for you.
Oh,
also, okay. You have a turtle face.
Yeah. But I would not think of it that way. My face is
sorry, all I can imagine is a turtle trying to be very seductive. And it is funny to me.
And there's no eyebrows. And a lot of stuff is in the eyebrows.
It's basically, I'm trying to think of a ninja turtle trying to be seductive.
Their faces are very mobile, though.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. So are you two going to head to the Hilltop Plaza like you're interested in? Or
do you mind doing that? Going up to the plaza?
No, not at all. Did you want to get your holy symbol made?
I want to look at it. I don't know. I haven't met anybody else who worships the woman who walks the hurricane. So probably it won't be there.
Oh, wait, who is your... We talked about this. It's been a long journey. Who's your god? Who do you worship?
So, above table, I may have mentioned her by name, but I've also decided that Ula doesn't know her dry world name. So, yeah, she's the god who... she walks the hurricane. And... that's who I worship, but I haven't seen anybody here who worships her so far, because we're not below the water. So, But I still want to look.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Let's do it. Buddy.
I want something made too, if we could afford it. Or if I can.
Nice. I'm sure we can afford it. We have a lot of money now.
That is true.
What do you want? Do you want like a magical thing or like a decorative thing?
Surprise.
Or a magically decorative thing?
It's a surprise.
Oh, gotcha. Cool.
So don't look.
I have to look where I'm walking.
Oh, that's true. You should probably look for both of us. I'm not very perceptive.
Fair enough. I'll lead.
I in fact, led you away, but I don't know where we're going.
So you were holding my hand to get me away, and I'm like, no, oh, this way.
Oh, this way. Okay.
All right. So you all make your way to the top of the hill. And find the same market. In fact, you see Tomi there, kind of haggling, or probably not haggling, haggling's not her style, paying for some spices. You see a couple of silk scarfs, like in her, like kind of draped over her arm.
Hey.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Good. I got new reads for us if we want to read any of these. From the cleric.
From the fucking temple.
The what temple?
Yeah, it's a temple where people go to have sex and make babies. It also happens.
The point of order, he didn't say that they have sex in the temple.
He implied that he's seen everything and he has no shame or embarrassment. What did you want me to take away from that, both as Caitlin and as this character?
Uh-huh. A person who is both a doula and a sex therapist. But also not somebody who's like, come fuck in my temple.
I don't know.
I've never heard of a temple like that before. Maybe next time we run into a random church, I might hear somebody out. For at least a couple minutes.
Oh, I love it.
Anyway, this place is great.
What do you have? What have you found?
Well, I got these scarves. And I got this little carving. It's like this person. It's a little acrobat carving. Obsidian. It's really cute. So Greg's somewhere around here looking for a treat for me to buy him.
Nice.
And then I'm just browsing for maybe one last thing. But I'm excited to browse with you guys.
Awesome. Yeah, we're looking for the people who do religion and work with this obsidian.
Tomi, you've seen a vendor that's selling like obsidian holy symbols.
Oh yeah, I saw something just back over there, just across from where I bought these scarves.
Cool.
Okay. Let's go.
Okay, so you go over and you find a table that has got a whole passel of holy symbols on it. More holy symbols than you knew could have existed.
Do they actually seem magical to me?
Do you touch one? Do you pick one up?
Mm-hmm.
They're warm to the touch. They have a just kind of feel a slight energy to them.
The same as just the unworked, or is this different?
Roll me an Arcana check.
Funnily enough, I am trained in Arcana. Balls. It's a hot 9.
Hard to say. You think maybe it feels like slightly more energetic, but it's hard to say.
Okay. Do I see any that look like my holy symbol?
Now that you've opened this can of worms, Caitlin, you don't know the dry cider name for Humia. Yeah. Does it, she have the same holy symbol below there that she does above?
I think, well, because you and I talked about it a little bit, mine is kind of claw-shaped, but it's three lightning bolts instead of three claw marks. So I don't know if that would...
All right, well, I'd say that you find one that's three claw marks that aren't lightning bolts. You're like, oh, it's so close.
Well, try to cast something through it.
Yeah, does the Avender look upset with me touching his...
The Avender is a keen-eyed dwarven woman who has not seemed at all put out that you're fingering these, so...
True. You're just really on it today, huh?
What? Oh. Yeah, I guess I am on one.
Just one after the other.
I'm just delighted.
I'll pick up the one that's claw shaped and I'll try to cast bless on the three of us.
Okay. You feel it very, it feels very natural to channel through.
I'll pick up one that looks like Kasuba's. Because his is like eggs, right?
Yeah, you see like the sort of like nest with eggs on there.
And I'll try to cast with that one too. Does it feel different?
You just can't feel like you can channel yourself through it.
Who makes these?
She says, I do.
Cool.
She says, did you see one you liked? She says, looks like you're drawn to the Humia one. She says, she kind of squints at your holy symbol. She says, I haven't seen one that looked like that before, though.
Yeah. I haven't seen one that looks like this before.
No, well, not very common in this part of the world. Makes sense.
Where is it more common?
She says, Eastern Aristica.
Huh.
Kind of, near the Windhavian Empire.
Would I know that? I guess I've been above the water for like 2 months, right?
I'd say if you didn't know Humia's name at this point, you probably didn't know that.
Okay. Interesting. Good to know. It doesn't look like mine. And I put it back down.
She says, well, I take custom orders.
How much to add something to my holy symbol, not make a whole new one?
What's your holy symbol made out of?
Fuck, I don't know.
I mean, it's not magical, so it can be whatever you want.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Probably like a whalebone or something like that.
Ooh.
Mm. That's cool. She says, I could work with that, I guess. She says, how would you like it to look?
I don't know.
She says, I could do just part of it. We could clad it in obsidian. I could put clad part of it, accentuate the bolts for the moon.
My mom made this, so I just want it to be whole. I don't want it to be destroyed or harmed.
She says, if your mom made that, I don't want to fuck around with it and break it. She says, I could make you an obsidian one, though. You could wear both. I don't see why not.
Oh, okay. How much for that?
She says, how much are you looking to spend?
I don't have a frame of reference, so this is putting me in a bad position. I think.
She says, well, she says, I have different potencies based on how much you're willing to spend. She says, if you, for example, hypothetically, only could spend up to 100 gold pieces, it would be a different effect than if you could spend up to 500 gold pieces.
Okay. Well, if I can't even spend 100 pieces, then...
How much do you have to work with, my dear?
76 gold.
She says, I could make a holy symbol that has a decent little effect for 50 gold pieces.
I can put in the other 20 more gold.
Oh, you don't have to.
No, oh, to get it to 100? Oh, uh-huh. It's 100 is still in the same tier as the 50. Yeah. So.
Okay. Never mind.
Okay. She says, for that price, she says, I could make you a holy symbol that is more potent against the undead.
Dope. I hate undead. A lot.
Okay.
I just felt strongly about it this morning because I haven't seen many undead.
Okay. So at a game, what this will do is it'll give undead that you affect with your turn undead disadvantage on their wisdom saves.
Hey, cool. Dope. Do you take my money now?
She says no, because if you don't come to get it, I just sell it to somebody else on the street.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Can I come back tomorrow or longer than that?
She says, tomorrow evening, I should have it ready.
Cool. Thank you.
Of course, pleasure doing business with you.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I'll be here, in Kakuri Plaza. She says, are you staying in the Zinhaikan?
I look at Tomi and Haruna.
We're going to have to find the others, potentially, if we can.
Yeah.
Oh, she says you do not have lodgings yet.
No.
No.
Ah.
Do you have any recommendations?
She depends. She says it depends if you're staying in Zinhaikan, Kaneda, or Keiakan. No. The lower city, middle city, or upper city. Except in reverse order.
Let's say middle.
So Kaneda, the artisan district. She says, there's a great tavern there called the Anvil. Real nice barkeep.
Cool.
Is that where Kess is sitting right now?
That is where Kess is sitting right now.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Haruna, did you want to talk to somebody about getting something made?
Haruna has wandered off, and as you see her just sort of wrapping up with some other merchant, and so I will message you, Joe, on the sly.
Okay, thank you.
Nice secrets.
Okay. And so you all get back together. Do you head, as it gets late in the afternoon, towards evening time?
I'm going to do a loop and look for Sir Greg.
Okay.
Look for Sir Greg?
Yes.
Did you lose him?
He's off looking for treats.
He's picking out a present.
Okay.
All right. So you actually, it takes you a moment to find him. But you see him as you look down an alleyway, sitting, eating like stuff that he didn't buy. and as you walk,
see him. You look down an alleyway and see him, and all I conjured was a badger with a shiv. I don't know why, but that's what just my brain called.
Robbing people at knife point for their treats.
Yes. Tomi scampers over to them, and I double tap my my hook, and I go, where did you get that?
I found it.
Where'd you find it?
He says, in a cart.
Which cart?
He says, I'll show you.
How many of them did you find?
What answer will make you not yell at me?
The truth?
This was the only one.
Insight check.
You don't even need to roll. He's lying. He's lying.
I'm going to make him take me there, and I'm going to give them
you go down to pick him up, and you pick him up, and he's like he's got like crumbs and like grease all over his mouth. But as you get up, you just notice you're in this little. It's like an old plaza. There's just like clotheslines kind of strung between various buildings here. And in the center, you just see what looks to be four statues, perhaps of like an adventuring party. The features have all kind of worn away over time. So it's hard to tell kind of what they looked like outside of their just sort of general shapes.
Hey, guys, this is kind of cool.
And so, yeah, you
they
go.
They don't have any faces. It's a little creepy, but.
Yeah, you just see these ancient statues in this plaza.
Can you tell kind of what races they were?
You'd gather, like, one of them looked to be maybe a dwarf. There was, like, perhaps, like, a human, a lithe thing, so maybe an elf. And then what looks like one of them maybe had horns or something at one point, but there's just little nubs left on the head. One of them's holding like the hilt of a sword, though the blade is long since gone. You see another one that's holding what looks to be a staff, but there's just like the portion where they're holding it, and the haft of it has long since fallen apart. One of them is missing a hand.
Motherfucker.
Model, well, you're motherfucker and me. This actually has nothing to do with any previous campaign.
Isn't
so.
There a campaign where somebody lost a hand?
Yeah, a couple, I think. But
I was going to say, I'm not crazy.
No, but this has nothing to do with them.
Okay. This is just a broken over time loss.
Yeah, this right? is just this is just a little what I like to call a little scenic taste of the city and its history.
Fair enough. You do sprinkle right. enough though, so
yeah,
my suspicions are always founded.
Mm-hmm. No arguments here.
Well, that's cool. She makes a note to maybe ask someone about it cool. at some point, and then all right, bring me that heart.
All right, so you find the various food carts that serve Greg. He ended up going to four of them.
Oh, my gosh.
And you're able to pay for the stolen foods.
How much does it cost me?
Just like 5 copper pieces altogether. Like this, you know, they're not selling like expensive gourmet food here.
Okay.
That's good.
And so do you all make your way back down to the Anvil Sands Roisin?
Yeah.
Okay. So you go there where you see you find Kes nursing a drink, Ula making those stupid eyes that you hate at. Or that, not that you hate, but that you're like, oh, those are the eyes where I have to leave. at the bartender.
We're having a friendly conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey. How's it going?
Good. The lady, bartender lady told, not the bartender, the artisan lady told us that this is a good place to stay. You want to stay here?
As you say that, the barkeep kind of like straightens his like, you know, outfit a little bit and just kind of like perks up a little bit, gets a little grin on his face.
Nice.
Tariq. These are my traveling companions. Traveling companions. This is my good friend Tariq. Might
He's
you have
already
some place for us to stay tonight?
He says, "Oh yeah, we got rooms." Gosh, I really should just bookmark this like hotel pricing table that I go to every session that we go to a hotel. He says 5 copper pieces for the night per room.
Okay.
Are
got this one for us, assuming maybe some of us won't need rooms.
Yeah, anyone? Well, I'll take a room.
How many people to a room?
Yeah, how many people to a room?
He says they can sleep you know, two people comfortably, four people uncomfortably.
Well, if you have two people that are very small.
Oh yeah, you could comfortably sit. Yeah, you could comfortably share a bed.
Uda, do you mind sharing a bed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, I don't mind.
Yeah, I figured. That's what. Unless Tess, you want to do a split a room Z again?
Alternative Tariq.
Tariq gives you a wink.
I think I've got a room for tonight already.
All right. I didn't want to presume.
All right. So, Roisin.
I mean, I was presuming, but.
You have a good evening as well. Getting to know this artisan whose name is Liora, Liora. And you find out that you guys talk a little bit between other stuff, and you find out that you know, her family, you know, her grandparents moved here, but they are originally from the mountains west of the Wintavia Empire, and they came here as refugees. And she asks about like where you're from and like, you know, how many Goliaths are there and stuff like that, because she's the only one that she knows of that's here.
We'll tell her. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she has like a very, like, she takes out for a nice dinner, and then she has like a very nice like apartment above her shop. All right, so you all get a long rest, some more restful than others. And that is what we're going to pick up next time.
Hooray!
Ooh, yay!
New city, new shitty.
And I hope, yeah, hope you all enjoyed a nice roleplay session and getting to know the city of Blackrock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to know you.